have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
You are. Well, it's Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. It must be the voice that you have just tuned into. We're so glad to have you tonight. I am your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, and we thank God for you, you, and especially you on tonight. We thank God for another week and another time to share his word with his people. Amen. And we look for nothing less than for God to bless us. Amen. Let me check and see who's with us tonight. Amen. East St. Louis, Missouri. Kimmy Kim, come on, say something to us tonight.
Say something. This is Kimmy Kim, and I'm in the building.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Come on and say something to us, Bishop-elect Richard.
Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because of the steadfast love of the Lord, a love that never ceases, a love that produces new mercies every morning. We have this opportunity to be here on The Voice, not so much to be seen, not so much to be heard, but to declare the greatness of our God. Good evening, Apostle. How are you, sir?
All right. I'm doing all right. Go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Amen. Do we have Pastor Anna Henderson? All right. They're sleeping in Indianapolis. All right. What about Georgia? Down there is that old Augusta, Georgia. Is there an Apostle Urban Whitlow in Georgia?
The Lord has given me the tongue of the Lord that I should know how to speak of it. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. I am here. I am learned. I am ready for the voice. God bless you, sir.
All right, all right. Sounds like we have a crew tonight. I'm just going to check one more time. Let's go to Amen, the ports of Newark. And down in PA, is there a Elder Kenyatta calling tonight? All right. Amen. The spirit of sleeping beauty is on her too. Hallelujah. Amen. But tonight, we are here in Jesus' name, and we yet have another wonderful discussion for you tonight. And tonight, I would ask Kimmy Kim, give us the opening prayer. Hello?
She's there. She's come on there, Dr. Robinson. Opening prayer.
You got to come off of mute.
Hallelujah. You're still on mute. Probably praying up a storm. Don't even know. Can't nobody hear it but her and Jesus.
I'm so sorry. I was having problems with my Wi-Fi. And thank you once again for this opportunity to fellowship with one another. And let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for making ways out of no way, Father God. Thank you for bringing your children together so that we can fellowship in you in spirit and in truth. But Father God, as we continue on this discussion, decrease us and put more in your ways, your precepts, and we will forever praise your name because you are so good, Father God. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. More importantly, thank you for Jesus Christ, who gave us an opportunity to have a relationship with you, Father God. And we will make this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
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 And so we will have our scripture, amen, by Bishop-elect Ernest Richard.
All right. I'm trying to get Facebook set up. My
okay. Then we'll have
give me 1 Kings, 2 Kings 2. How far do you want me to go, sir?
I want you to start where they go from city to city and read until he gets the mantle and come back to the Jordan.
Let me see if I can find that. All right, I'm going to have to start at verse 1 in chapter 2 and take it down. Okay, let's start here. Okay, I got you. Start at verse 1, go down to verse 8. And this is the Amplified Bible, the classic edition. Okay? When the Lord was about to take Elijah, up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were going from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The prophets, sons who were at Bethel, came to Elisha and said, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today?" He said, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." Elisha said to him, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood to watch afar off. And the two of them stood by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the waters. And they divided this way and that, so that the two of them went over on dry ground. And when they had gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. However, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But not, it shall not be so." As they still went on and talked, behold, the chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them to pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle that fell from Elijah and struck the waters and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the waters, they parted this way and that, and Elisha went over. I read from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 14. The Lord had a blessing to the hearers of the word.
Amen. We dealt with this text on last week. But after meditating on it, I saw another piece that we need to throw on the table tonight. So before we move on into tonight's lesson, I just want to talk for a minute, about 20, maybe 25 minutes, We just want to pick this apart and talk about, don't forget who gave it to you.
Mm.
Let me say that again. Don't forget who gave it to you. Now, just to give you a backdrop from last week, we've seen Bill. We've seen Elijah go through the field, hit Elisha with his mantle. The anointing came on Elisha so strong, he forgot he was plowing the field. Left the plow and the ox out in the field. And then on top of that, he forgot to even tell Cubic. He forgot to even tell his mother and father that he was leaving. That had to be some kind of anointing. Your mind off of your work. Took your mind off your family. And you start following somebody because a part of them touched you. And you just started following them. And then we find a man that not only did he follow him, but on this journey, Elijah begins to go through different cities. Give me them cities again. I believe there were four of them.
Yes, there actually were four. He went first and foremost. He told him to tarry while he goes to Bethel. And then he tells him to tarry while
Hold on a minute. He goes to Bethel. If you know anything about the word Bethel, Bethel is the place where God speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that through Abraham, and we learned that through Jacob. That is the place where God makes you, in to show you what he would have you to do. Then they went to another place. What is that place?
He went to Jericho on his second place that he went to.
Jericho was the second place?
Yes, Bethel was the first. Jericho was
Watch
the second.
Watch this now. Bethel, you learn how to meet God. Bethel, you learn how to get things out of your way. When they went to Jericho, they went to Bethel to learn how to meet God. When they got to Jericho, Elijah begins to tell him the story about how they marched the wall. And on that seventh day, that seventh time around, they shouted and the wall fell flat.
Yes.
He began to tell Elisha about how you can get flat delivered. How if you follow the command of God, he will do the phenomenal for you. Where did he take him for? Where did he take him to for the third time?
The third and final time, he took him to the Jordan River.
But we're missing one.
Actually, we're not. First he went to Bethel, and then he went to Jericho. And on both occasions, the sons of the prophets said, don't you know your master is getting ready to get taken away from you? He says, I know it. Shut up. Well, he didn't say shut up, but he says, hold you. Well, yeah, he said shut up.
But Apostle, and you got the King James Version because it seemed like they left something out. Because I thought they went.
Okay.
I thought they went also to Gilgal.
They did.
So they went to. My mistake. They started in Gilgal, went to Bethel,
yeah.
went to Jericho, went to the Jordan.
Watch this now. Watch it. So let me back up to Gilgal. Gilgal is where you find out how to obtain your anointing.
All right.
Because Gilgal was the place of the Olivet.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Gilgal, you found out how to go through, be crushed, but come out yet usable, called the anointing. You found out how to be crushed, but yet come out. Amen. Liquefied and ready to be smeared on others. Lord have mercy. So we got Gilgal, the place of the anointing. Bethel, the place where God meets you. You got Jericho, where you learn how to obtain deliverance. And then they went to the Jordan, where you can learn that God is a miracle worker. But tonight we want to go back again to that other side of Jordan. I do want to throw this out. That notice now, from the time he left the field all the way to the Jordan, he would not leave Elijah's side.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm going to leave it alone. Some of y'all can't get what God want to give you because you're too in and out, in and out. God trying to bless you, but you won't stay still long enough.
My God.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. It didn't cost nothing. But you can really get it. But you got to be still. You got to stick with who God put you under. Amen. And when the time is right, God got something coming for you. You may not be the pastor's son or the pastor's daughter, but if you stick with the leader, God's got something in mind for you. But because you're too busy to die, you're going to miss it. Get where you're supposed to be and be still. And watch how God bless you. All right,
amen.
Let me get tonight's lesson before I get too happy. Well, tonight's discussion. We're going to have a little discussion right now for the next 20, 25 minutes. They go to the other side of Jordan. Now what happens is Elijah takes off his mantle. Listen at this good now. He takes off his mantle, this around his neck. Balls it up and hit the water, and the water backed up from Elijah. And the Bible says Elijah and Elisha walked across on dry ground.
Amen.
And every time they took a step, the Jordan. I guess I better ask this question, too. Are you anointed enough to make stuff back up?
Good question.
Stop it, Smith. Go ahead, Smith. Lord have mercy. Now they get to the other side of the Jordan. And it troubles Elijah that this young man traveled with him the way that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked him the ultimate question.
Uh-huh.
Why are you following me like this? What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you want?
Come on. Talk to me.
And whoa! If Elisha didn't give the best answer, boy, you could have ever heard. He said, I want not a portion, but I want a double portion of what's on you. is that? Well, let me tell you. If you see me, but I'm going up. He said, you can have your request granted. Carry the fire cake. The whirlwind was behind the chariot. Took Elijah up.
Right.
And I don't know what Elisha was doing. That's another point I need to throw out here. Some of y'all too busy looking the wrong way when God's trying to do something for you.
All right.
Elisha, the Bible helps us to know all those listed. So the chariot came, the whirlwind came, whoop, got Elijah on the way back to heaven. Elisha happened to look at the right guy and said, oh, my mouth. And Elijah noticed that Elisha was looking up and saw him going and dropped the mantle. Now, here's what we want to pick up. It says that Elisha ripped his garment. Somebody talk to me. What is that all about? He ripped his garment.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, and please, gentlemen, correct me if I don't have this exactly right. The tearing of a garment usually represented somebody that is in, I'm trying to find the right word, they're hurt to that degree that they would tear their garment. Give me the right word here, somebody. They're just hurt. I mean, the fact that his emotion, his physical side, saw Elijah leave. And you know how you get when a loved one dies or passes on, transitions? Spiritually speaking, you know, you like to believe that they're with the Lord. But naturally, there is an emotional instability that overcomes you and causes you to cry out in utter pain because of the loss of that physical loved one. And I believe Elisha was experiencing that moment. But to me, that was a transition from his natural into what's called now his supernatural. Because of the request that he made, I would say that was his transitioning period right there. That's just me.
And I'm glad you used that phrase. Because I tell the people, we're talking about the supernatural, the power of God, and how to obtain it and how to work it and all that. So now everyone online, Brother Rick has said that Elisha had fallen in love with the man of God, so in his soul and in his spirit, until it caused him to rip his clothes when the man of God left. What you got to say about it?
I'm not certain that.
What y'all got to say?
I'm not so certain that he was so in love with the man of God, but I think it was so much more that he knew that he needed what the man of God had. And so since he realized that he needed what the man of God had, he was trying to get all he could get before the man of God left. And so that's what made him stay connected. You want all of what you can get. It's just like a good piece of meat. A good piece of meat, when it's seasoned right, is cooked right, and it's got the right flavoring and everything, even when you've gotten everything out of it, you still try to get the juices because it's so good to you. And I believe that this is what the man of God wanted from his leader. Every bit he could get, every bit of wisdom, every bit of revelation, every bit of power, every bit of anointing, every bit of godliness, everything. I mean, I believe in my own opinion, if he could have had the man's blood, he would have taken the man's blood.
I wouldn't disagree
what
with
you. What you thinking, Kimmy Kim?
Take yourself off mute again.
Yes, I did step away to use the ladies' room. What was the question? I'm sorry.
Bless her heart.
The Bible says that when Elijah threw the mantle down on the ground, it said Elisha ripped his clothes. Why would he do that?
That is a good question. I am not really familiar with this passage, but when I think of it on a spiritual end, it sounds like he was frustrated. I'm not good on this particular parable, this story. So I'm going to continue on listening. So I know how to stay in my lane. I do apologize.
You said you went to the necessarium, but some kind of way you heard what Rick said. Because Rick said to us that he ripped it because he had some kind of, his connection was now gone. And so it was an act of his hurt towards the man of God being gone. Apostle Whitlow said he believed it was because he wanted more from the man of God, but would no longer be able to get it. So we're going to look at this some more and see what is so. All right. Now, here's another
thing.
He takes the pieces of clothing and wraps it around the mantle. What in the world is he doing?
Apostle Whitlow, you want to jump on that, or do I have permission to go before you, sir?
Go ahead before me.
To me, Apostle Smith, it's a representation. The mantle itself being the anointing, being a figure of that supernatural. The clothing wrapped around it, to me, is a representation of flesh. And to me, that just displays from a figurative example how God can place his anointing in flesh and allow that flesh to operate in a power that it has never experienced before in its life. That's my interpretation. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's how I see it.
Where are you at, Whitlow?
I'm sorry. Someone is trying to get my attention because things are going on. Please repeat your question.
This is that he ripped. He took it and wrapped it around the mantle. What was that all about?
Maybe to absorb what was in it. I've known people that when their leader passes, what they try to do is they try to get their belongings because they believe that the residue of the anointing from that individual is still attached to their properties. And so they try to take it and bring it to their property so that they can, if you will, get it transferred to theirs. It's just a thought, you know, just like some people who, when a preacher has preached their heart out and has ministered, and then they have a towel that they sweated upon, right? They want that towel and they sleep with it and think that they're going to wake up the next morning and have the same anointing.
Now, I'm going to share my view. I believe Elisha, two things I believe. First of all, in ripping off his clothes, I do believe it was an act of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
For if you remember, David ripped off his clothes
when Saul attacked.
When Job thought he was going to die, his daddy ripped his garment. It was an act of sorrow. But yet, at the same time, the garments that he ripped, watch what I say now, he used them as gloves.
Come on.
He knew that Elijah was so anointed that he didn't want to handle God with his bare hands.
There you go.
He didn't want to handle. He knew that God had worked with Elijah through the mantle, and he did not want to handle what God had used with the man of God with his bare hands.
Amen.
And then, I guess I got three. Then, you see, he took his call and Elijah's call and rolled it together.
Yep.
Oh, my God. The anointing of the former prophet now being rolled together with the anointing as for what? A double portion.
Double portion. Representation.
See, a lot of times we think the double portion is a double something poured on us. The double portion is something from somebody else being given to you, added to you. Uh-oh. Did I just say that? Yes, I did.
You did.
I said the double portion is that one from before releasing something to you, and then you add it to you, and double begins to flow in your life. Somebody talk
all
to
right,
me.
So let me understand this. I want to make sure I got this crystal clear. When you talk about the double portion, you have the original, which is God himself. Now, God's anointed, in this case, Elisha, has God's anointing flowing through him and resonating through his entire being. And so you wrap the clothing of Elijah around the mantle, which represents the anointing of God. But then you take the clothing that you've been blessed with and wrap it around the clothing of Elijah so that the power source, which is God himself through the Holy Spirit, is flowing through your leader and now flows through you because of the connection. Do I have that right?
Yes, sir.
That's all I needed to know.
Let's look at something. I'm going to throw this at Whitlow. Let's look at something. But that he has received from his leader is so precious to him that he does not handle it with his own physicality. What is that all about?
I think that what it's all about is he wants to operate in the same dimension, the same level, if you will. So, in other words, he's willing to reach beyond his own limitations. He's willing to go beyond what he's familiar with, what he's accustomed to, what he's used to. He's willing to go above and beyond that because he really wants what is on his master, or let me not say his master. He really wants what's on his leader's life. And the reality is, if you really want that, not only must you stick really close to your leader, but you have to pattern yourself after your leader. In other words, you have to do what your leader do. I said it on last week, and I'll say it again, that Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater. works shall you be wise. I'm going to my Father. I believe that was a typology of what had happened when Elijah was being caught up. Elisha was getting it because, why? He wanted a double portion. And I believe even today that we could have it if we would just listen to how the Lord is releasing things, saying if you pay attention to what I'm saying and you receive what I'm saying to you and you allow yourself to be immersed in it, then you can experience it. You can operate in it. There's no limitation when God really wants you to receive it, but you have to want it. God is giving it out, but you have to want it. Let me say it again. God is giving it out. You have to want it.
That's the question right there. I'm going to leave, for the sake of my question, I'm going to leave out, can you extract an anointing from somebody else's life?
Can you expect an anointing from somebody else's life?
No, can you extract an anointing from somebody else's life?
I'm going to say, no, you can't actually extract an anointing from someone else's life, but there's and I'm going to say it this way, there's a difference between an impartation and an extraction. An extraction is a total complete removal from part A into part B. An impartation is a sharing of what's been given to the original and passed on to the protege. So I would say no. That's me.
What is your thought? What is your thought, Pastor?
No, you can't extract anything from anybody. That's not who God called. God never called us to be extractors. No, no. But I do believe that if someone desires to, like Moses, put some of their honor upon you or put some of their spirit upon you, they will do it by transferring it to you, not by you extracting it from them.
Amen.
Now, then in this story, how does Elijah or Elisha get the impartation? There's no affirmation service, no consecration. There's no gathering of people. There's no $1,200 garment. There be none of this. So where does the impartation come from?
Well, here you gotta go back to what his leader told him. His leader said these words. He said, if you see me.
That's what he said.
When I'm taken away. He says, and if you catch my mantle, he said, it'll be unto you. But if you don't see me, you don't catch it, it won't be to you. So it wasn't about it being a special service. It was about being in the right place at the right time.
And you know what? Right, you just took the words right out of my mouth when you said that. Right place, right time equals proper anointing. See, sometimes folk want something that they're not supposed to have, and they're trying to be in the right place. They're waiting for, or at least they think they're waiting for, the right time. But it's not that anointing or that placement or impartation is not for them. The individual to whom the impartation is actually designed to receive, that individual has to make sure they're in the right place, they're in the right space. They're in the right mindset, that they are still yet connected, that they are walking with God and not away from God. Too many folk are trying to take anointings that don't belong to them and trying to walk in callings that God never ordained them to walk in. No wonder we're having a madcap mess. I mean, I'm sorry I got to say it. The body of Christ is not messed up in and of itself, but there are portions of the body that need medication. I just have to say it that way.
Well, let's look at something.
Wait, did Wait a minute, Apostle. Bishop Elect, did you just say there are portions of the body that need medication?
Yes, I did say there are portions of the body that need medication. They're confusing anointing with anointment. Anointing is God-led, God-bred. Anointment is man-made and usually will fail.
God help them, Jesus.
Now watch this. Now, I like what you said, Apostle, but let's look at it. The embarkation was done back there in the field. That's why when the man of God kept walking, that's why Elisha dropped everything immediately, because when he hit him, it wasn't just a hit of a cloth. There was a release of anointing came over Elisha.
Yes.
So all this time that we see Elisha following Elijah, he has not been following him to be one of the sons of the prophet. He's been following him because he knew the prophet had what he needed. A lot of people want to get in the crowd of what's happening, but they don't want what they need from the one that's happening through.
Can I put that in another way, Apostle?
Go ahead.
There are a lot of folks who want to brown nose their way to the top and wear chocolate lipstick. And then y'all read between the lines on that one. And then they like that perfume called Eau de Poop, okay? But then there are those who are going to do it God's way. Hear God's voice. Move with the Spirit of God. And stay close to the leader as God instructs. And God gives them the full Monty of what he gave that leader when it's time to transition.
And so when we read this text, and I hope we can read it different as we read it again, to preach or whatever. Actually, Elisha, from the time he left the field until they get to this point, he was not after the scoop. He was not after position. He was after what he felt in the field.
The anointing.
And see, we got too many people jogging for position. We got too many people in the house of God want to be special, want their name called during the announcement. But how many is trying to get the anointing and flow in the supernatural?
Well, can I throw one more piece on there? And this isn't to throw shade on anybody, but it's an observation that I've made. Now, both of you know I came from a denomination into an independent ministry, and you know where my home church is in New Haven. What is this thing that bishops are quote-unquote elected as if it were a democratic process, as opposed to a spiritual appointment? Help me understand the difference, somebody.
Well, somewhat, it is a democratic process, and that election is in two ways. You can be elected by, let's say, it is a body of people that have no leader. But all those pastors got together and had a meeting, and the agreement or the election was, we want Joe Jackson over us as our bishop. Let's talk to him. In that meeting, they elected that they wanted Jackson as their bishop. So that is an election. But
now,
there is another election.
Let me throw a monkey wrench in the motor work for a minute. Then comes Jones, who desires the office, but now has not been nominated or has not been nominated to be elected, yet he throws his hat in the ring and makes it known that he's just as interested in that office. How do we handle such a thing?
Well, if the people know what they're doing, Jones is so close to wear a fly kite, because when they prayed about it and talked about it, Jackson was the one. And he said,
all right.
Well, we up. If we know what God says, you ought to go with what God says and forget everything else. When you talk about election, that's what I was getting ready to get into. When you talk about election should be godly.
Amen.
Because that's why in the body of Christ now, that's why so many churches are jacked up. Because when the Bible talks about election, it's not talking about this round robin jump they do now trying to find a pastor. It means go into prayer, do some fasting and consecrating, and get a name from the Lord, and it is elected through the Holy Spirit. Or because what I like is what happened just this Sunday. The bishop and pastor of a certain church here in the city was retiring, relinquishing his rule over the church, but at the same time, he told them who he felt was the pastor by the election of God. That's biblical.
That's right.
And even more biblical than that, if his son had been in place, his son should have been the next pastor.
All right.
That's all biblical. Now, but he set the next pastor in place. No whole lot of voting, 10, 15 people coming in to preach to them, and you getting all kind of different words. It went straight from this pastor to the new pastor. And when there's an election of God, you ain't got to go through no whole lot of foolishness.
No, you don't.
Same thing is happening at another ministry. Good friend just stepped down from his church because of his health. But before he left that church, he already had a set who was coming in to be their pastor. And he talked to me about it. He said, I prayed about it and asked the Lord to show me and lead me to the next person. He said, I did not want to leave that church in the situation the leader before me left them in, where all kind of people coming in preaching and saying all kind of foolishness. I want to know that they had a pastor when I left.
Amen.
And that's the way it should be. When you talk about election, you're not really talking about a church vote. People do that. But when you talk about election, you're talking about a God move.
All right.
What is God saying? Who is God choosing? Because in that word election, when you study it out, you find out in simplicity, it really means to make a choice.
Amen.
And if we follow God's choosing, we're going to do the right thing every time.
Amen.
Anybody else want to speak on that?
Come on.
Now let's look at something else. So he didn't want to touch the mantle with his physical hand. So he takes it, wraps it in his garment, and binds it with Elijah's garment, hence starting or activating double portion.
All right.
But here's where I drew this subject from. He goes back to the Jordan, and he asks one question.
Where?
When he got ready for a demonstration from God, where is the God of Elisha?
All right.
Is that what he said?
He said Elijah.
Oh, he said Elijah.
He said Elijah.
So why didn't he say where's the God of Elisha? He had the mantle.
Well, he was learning the God of Elijah to allow the God of Elijah to become his God. Everything, there's a training, a time and a session of training, a catechism, if you will, when it comes down to knowing the things that pertain to holiness, to godliness, to that lifestyle and that demeanor of life. And so him, I won't say being new to it, but not being new to it, is now moving from the layman's position into a leader's position. And it's never an easy transition when you're going from layman to leader. But if you follow your leader closely, you will be properly trained and know how to step forward. He reverenced the anointing of Elijah. And even more so, the power and the anointing that flows from above.
I'm going to agree and disagree for one reason.
Go ahead.
He had already trained them in Gilgal, Bethel.
And I get that.
And then at the Jordan, he showed him different things in each city. But when he got back to that Jordan, he put out there, why do you want to say this? It is this good preaching material. He says when he gets back to the Jordan, he said, okay, I got me and Elijah wrapped up in a cloth. But now I need me and Elijah wrapped up in demonstration. Lord, let me.
And you know what? I agree with that. But see, you're saying, and I guess I should have said it this way. There comes a time, and it's nice to learn and to study, to read the books. But there comes a time when you have to have that hands-on training. And that, to me, it's all the difference in the world. When I first became a minister of the gospel, you know, with all the books that were read and talking about faith and talking about love and talking about faithfulness and the different things that go with it, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, the whole 50 yards, there came a time when I had to put all that into practice. And as I put it into practice, and the best analogy I can give, we all recognize Michael Jordan as one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. But Michael Jordan did not become one of the greatest players just by sitting around twiddling his thumbs and doing nothing. He studied. He became a student of the game. And I'm using that analogy to get to, if you want to walk in the anointing, if you want to flow in the anointing, if you want God to truly use you as a vessel meet for the master's use, you are going to have to become a student of that ministry that he has assigned to you. Your anointing increases as your faith increases in the God of your salvation. When the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, a lot of us will quote the scripture, but can we really trust God? Can we really let go and trust God to the point that no matter what happens, good, bad, indifferent, or whatever, you still trust him? Can we get to that point? That's all I'm saying.
Now,
go ahead.
Of what we are entering into,
mm-hmm.
I must ask the question. In your ministry, in your walk with God, I don't want to just say ministry because everybody's not a minister. But in whatever it is you do for God, should you see some of your leader in you or persons that were intricate in getting you where you are? Should you see them in you?
Yes, you should. You actually should. You should see, and I'm not saying you got to be verbatim, word for word, step for step, but you should, you know, it's like your natural father. There are certain things that you do, and somebody will jump up and say, oh, you look just like your father. And what I'm trying to get at is every leader, I don't care who you are, or where you come from, every leader needs a mentor, especially those who are emerging into higher realms of leadership. And when you look at this story and you watch how great Elijah was in the eyesight of God, not that he was great in and of himself, but he was great in the eyesight of God, trusting God for wherever he was for many years. Elisha, when he finally connected with him, reached down and found the guts to ask Elijah for a double portion, because Elisha obviously saw something in Elijah that really intrigued him, something that really got his motor working, if I could use that phrase. And here we are in a day and age where people are trying to be something that they cannot be outside of the mentor that God has assigned to them. And God took Elijah through the preparation necessary through Elijah. The younger man, being Elisha, as we would say, waited for the right time and made his request. And when did he make his request? When that door became open. He didn't walk up to Elijah and say, yo, E, I just want to have what you got, but I want a double portion. Elijah asked him, what is it that you want from me before I leave you? So there's the process and the open or the gate for the impartation that needed to take place. What am I trying to drive at? Mentors. Give your mentees an open door so that they can walk through the gateway of opportunity to be the great individual. And see, I'm like this. If I'm mentoring somebody, I really want them to be greater than I ever was. I don't want them to be the same as me, because being the same as me is like being me. I need you to be better than me. I want my sons to be better than me. They should build on that platform. Does that make any sense?
Makes sense. Pastor Whitlow, I want to ask you this. Name some modern preachers. It don't even have to be modern. But name some, at least two preachers that you know that an anointing in their life. I ain't talking about copycatting, but I'm talking about name two preachers you know that you can instantly recognize that their anointing came from them being around somebody else.
Sure, that's real easy. Apostle Vincent L. Smith and Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr.
Oh, wow. I know that guy.
Okay, so this is Apostle Vincent Smith. Who do you see when you see him?
His daddy.
All right. Is there anyone else?
I can see, I see, and this is just me, I see a tad bit of Noel Jones in him. That's just me.
All right, we're Rich, who you see?
An Apostle Vincent L. Smith, yes, I agree. The late Bishop Charles Smith. I see a tad of his mother in terms of nurturing. I see just different ones that have come along, a little bit of, and I'm going to, these are people he has been around that I know has shared some things with him. You know, I would throw an Ardeen Richardson-like spirit in there because that was a machine when she went to preach. And Apostle Smith has this way of when the Holy Spirit strikes him, oh, man, he turns into a machine, okay? Anyway, there are so many different people. It took a village to raise Apostle Vincent Smith. So it wasn't the main person was Charles Smith and his mother, but at the same time, that village had pieces of impartation that had to be given to him to bring him to where he is today.
Now you said something right there. You said something right there. It takes a village to raise an anointing.
That's right.
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it out there hard as I mean to. Any of you nuts that are sitting around thinking that you're going to get all you need in your one little pastor, you are sadly mistaken. I didn't say leave your church. I didn't say be disrespectful to your pastor. Get all you can from your pastor. But there are some other people that God has assigned to you to help you become who he gonna make you to be.
Amen.
And I need you to know that. Oh my God, I wish I knew when it turned. I believe it's 2 Timothy. Could be chapter, I think it's chapter 4, where Paul is talking to Timothy and reminds Timothy, this anointing that I'm getting ready to release on you, it don't come from you. It came from your mother and grandmother.
Yes. I thought, is it 4 or 1?
That comes in 2 Timothy 1 and 5 and 6.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Matter of fact, read that for.
Yeah. Huh?
Read that for. I want people to know.
Read it.
I ain't throwing out stuff here. I want them to know that we in the book with what we're talking about.
All right. It says in verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
All right. Can I read that in the Amplified Classic edition?
Really?
You'll love this. I promise you, you will love this. Verse 5, I am calling upon memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm fully persuaded dwells in you also. That is why I remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, that inner fire that is in you by means of laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordinations.
See that?
Wow.
The book of Exodus, the last chapter, I believe it is, when Moses laid hands on Joshua.
What is that, Exodus 37? Is that right?
I believe that is. Oh.
Mm. Nope. That talks about the making of the Ark of the Covenant. You got it, Apostle Whitlow?
No, I'm still looking. I'm trying to recall.
And for all of those listening, when I tell them to find something, it's not because we don't know the word that we're taking time to look it up. It's because these things are coming as we're talking. So we have to take time to look it up to be a blessing to you, that you be not unfruitful when we are through. You can go to the scripture yourself and say, according to the word, now this is what they were talking about.
Wow. Let's see, gathers, okay. Fields and ox, we don't want that one. Make a burnt office, delay. Nope. Let me see something. Okay. Can we come back to that one? Because I have to
We can come back to it, but I want to make sure we give it out before we go off there.
Okay.
Guys, understand that you can be anointed. You can obtain anointing through prayer and fasting and a consecration, but you also can obtain or have it imputed to you by hanging or being faithful to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, as Bishop Elect loved to say, sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time. Now, here go one of my stories. I was in revival down in South Carolina. And they kept talking about this deacon I knew. Well, don't nobody go by there. I hardly see him no more or nothing. He got dementia real bad, you know. He just be saying stuff and carrying on. Now, while they talking about him, the Lord says to me in my spirit, said the man don't have no dementia. He's waiting for somebody to give his anointing to.
All right now.
So I said to them, well, I'm going by the sea. Y'all take me on by the sea him anyhow. I said, I don't care if he do have dementia, according to y'all. I went over there, talked to his wife. She said, man of God, she said, now, you sure you want to go back there? Because he be talking out of his head and stuff sometimes. I said, mother, it's going to be all right. I went back there in that room. She jumped up off the bed. Now, they said he was sick and couldn't get out the bed. When I went in that room, he jumped up off like a young man. And that man grabbed me in a bear hug. I couldn't get out if I wanted to. And while he was hugging me, he began to pray.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
And said, the anointing on my life, I now release it on your life because I'm getting ready to leave here.
I have that scripture for you.
All right, go ahead.
It is actually in Numbers 27. And okay, the entire story, I'll give you Numbers 27 and verse 18. It goes to verse 23. I don't know how far you want to go with it. Do you want the whole thing or just that portion?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Numbers 27, 18. It says, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and put some of your honor and authority upon him, that all the congregation of Israel may obey him. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him before the Lord by the judgment of the Urim, one of two articles in the priest's breastplate, worn when asking counsel of the Lord for the people. At Joshua's word, the people shall go out and come in, both he and all the Israelite congregation with him. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and commissioned him as the Lord commanded through Moses.
So the scripture said he's a man that got the spirit. I can't remember what I read it in now, but he said he's a man that got your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He had been around long enough that he had got a part of Moses in him. And I could go to the scripture tonight where Moses released part of himself into 70, as the Bible said, and none of them yet had what Moses had in him. Woo!
Amen.
Scripture messes me up every time. I better leave that alone. Hallelujah.
Mm. All right.
All right. Where we at now, John?
We got approximately, we actually got 12 minutes.
12 minutes. All right.
12 governmental minutes.
Okay. So in this talking tonight, I feel like we done missed something. What did we miss, Whitlow?
I don't think we have missed anything. I think that we have covered much ground, and I think that people have got a good idea of what they need if they want to, one, operate in the supernatural, and two, they want what's on the life of their leader. I really believe that we have covered much ground, and I believe the Lord is pleased with what we have shared.
Have we missed anything, Bishop Elect?
Other than Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I would say no.
Kimmy Kim, come on back to the mic. And please don't tell me after all this time you ain't got nothing to say.
I just want to say you must stay in your lane. Amen. very well spoken. I like how Bishop says that we need to medicate. I'm with Apostle Irvin Whitlow on that one. Like, that's unique. But I do agree there are so many people, they assign themselves the task instead of God assigning them, because people think that being a pastor and being a bishop or a leader of the church is where it at, and that's where you can make some money. So some people are pimping a gospel just for selfish gains, and you cannot do that. And so that's why there is a body of Christ. Everyone has a specific role, and it's all, you know, important. We cannot see without the body. We cannot walk. We cannot cough. We cannot do. I mean, the body is very important. So every body roles is important, and that's why I think that some people are out of line because they want that glory. So that would be my input.
Wow.
All right. Well, I hear Alfred walking down the hall, so it must be about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But tonight, before we close, we're going to offer up a prayer tonight. And last week, we offered up prayer, amen, for Bishop Jefferson. I do want to report to the body of Christ that God raised him up, brought him back to the church, and even though He is struggling with his eyes. They said he preached Sunday like a champion.
Oh, my Lord.
And the power of God used him like never before. And so we thank our God. But yet tonight we're going to close in a prayer for him that God restored fully his sight. Amen. And that
may
is,
I add more to that list, Apostle?
Yes.
As many of you know, we have a virtual parishioner by the name of Mother Ernestine Sales, 96, going on 97 years old. The Lord allow her to live. This coming November, she'll be 97. 2 or 3 days ago, she fell, she hit her head, and her blood pressure shot up to the point where it created and began to cause a mild heart attack. They took her to the hospital. And after a careful examination and overnight observation, the doctor came back with this report. That heart attack, or the starting of that heart attack, did not damage her articles, her arteries or her venture, her cap or anything. In other words, the heart had not been damaged. God preserved that 96-year-old woman. Because at her age, that heart should have gave out. She should be gone. But God.
Now that was a supernatural action.
Amen.
Nobody but God could have done that.
Amen.
Amen.
No
damn heart. We have any others we need to be praying for tonight?
Dr. Kimmy Robinson, continual recovery. And the next level of ministry for Elations.
All right. And we thank God. All right, let us pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for this podcast.
Yes.
We thank you for this discussion. We thank you for every word spoken. We pray tonight that it has illuminated somebody's life. Them ready to get closer to their mentor, closer to their pastor, closer to that older prayer warrior that they love to hang around and pray with.
That person,
God, that has been leading them into a deeper relationship with you. And so, God, we thank you. Even tonight for the prayer requests that have been laid out before us. Tonight for the Bishop Derek Jefferson. Father, as some kind of attack has affected his eyes, Father, we don't know if it is cataract, glaucoma, or some other ailment that has come in his eyes. But one thing we do know, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord that healeth us. And God, we thank you tonight that healing is the settled subject.
Yes.
You've already done it, so we're not asking you to do it again. We're looking for manifestation in his body that his eyes will come back and be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for how you have already spared mother's life. And you gave her, God, a miracle. A heart attack that did not attack the heart. Nobody could have done that but you.
Nobody.
And we thank you for keeping her strong, keeping her healthy, keeping her motivated and mobile. God is keeping her where she can move and do and enjoy life till you say enough. Now, Father, we even pray for Elation Radio and Magazine. We pray for its editor. We pray for its management. We pray for the leader at large. Because, Lord, this is not all that you showed her, but she's faithful to what you have given her to do at this time. And, Lord God, she's ready for another phase, but she's worried about what's going to happen to Elation. Lord God, nothing is going to happen to Elation. It's going to grow. It's going to blossom. It's going to do great things, but help us not to sit back on that you're ministering to her to do now.
Yes.
Don't let her miss a season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I thank you. Don't let her miss her seat. But, Lord God, you have greater things in store for this season than she can even imagine. For the next season, it's going to cause her to have to disconnect from some natural things so that you can show her through the realm of how you can take care of her. And she does not have to wear herself out trying to make sure her family's all right. Trying to make sure that she take care of this and that on her own. But you're getting ready to give her partners. You're getting ready to give her. You're getting ready to take this ministry somewhere where she can't even think that it's getting ready to go. And so, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for each team member of the podcast moving their lives. Do great things for them. God, we thank you. We praise you. We love you for all that you are and all that you do. Touch somebody's life today. Turn it around. Bring them into your glory, into your presence, into your anointing. And, Father, let them live for you the rest of their day. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give me give. You know what I want you to do? I want you to let it roll, let it rock, and let it be heard. Drop
Amen.
That track.
I wanna fly like you.
beautiful.